Translation. Lord Krishna blessed Mayadevi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumud, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharda, and Ambika. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because Krishna and his energy appeared simultaneously, people have generally formed two groups, the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas, and sometimes there is rivalry between them. Essentially, those who are interested in material enjoyment are Shaktas, and those interested in spiritual salvation and attaining spiritual kingdom are Vaishnavas. Because people are generally interested in material enjoyment, they are interested in worshipping Maya Devi, the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas, however, are Shuddha Saktas or pure Bhaktas, because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra indicates worship of the Supreme Lord's energy, Hara. A Vaishnava prays to the energy of the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord along with his spiritual energy. Thus, Vaishnavas all worship such deities as Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, Rukmini Dwarkadish, whereas Durga Shaktas worship the material energy under different names. The names by which Mayadevi is known in different places have been listed by Vallabhacharya as follows. In Varanasi, she is known as Durga. In Avanti, she is known as Bhadrakali. In Orissa, she is known as Vijaya. And in Kolhapur, she is known as Vaishnavi or Mahalakshmi. The representatives of Mahalakshmi and Ambika are present in Bombay. In the country known as Kamarupa, she is known as Chandika. In northern India, as Sharda. In Cape Comorin, as Kanyaka. Thus, she is distributed according to the various names in various places. Amazing purport. So much detail here. Whole of India. And it carries on. Srila Vijay Dwaja Tirthapad in his Pada Ratnavali Tika has explained the meaning of the different representations. Maya is known as Durga because she is approached with great difficulty. As Bhadra because she is auspicious. As Kali because she is deep blue. Because she is the most powerful energy, she is known as Vijaya. Because she is one of the different energies of Vishnu, she is known as Vaishnavi. And because she enjoys in material world and gives facilities for material enjoyment, she is known as Kumuda. Because she is very severe to her enemies, the Asuras, she is known as Chandika. And because she gives all sorts of material facilities, she is known as Krishna. In this way, the material energy is differently named and situated in different places on the surface of the globe. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaisi Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhayavacha Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Asking for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here, so I can say something on this purport and verse. And Prabhupada is giving very elaborate purport here. A lot of detail of the forms of Durga, Yogamaya, even where they are. He's speaking equally of the two, as he said, that because Krishna and his energy appeared simultaneously, two groups are formed, Shaktas and Vaishnavas. And generally we don't notice them, but whenever you go to Bengal, you'll see the Shaktas. You can't miss it if you're going for Gopanim, because it's the time of, or around Kartik, sorry, the Kali Puja is going on. Kali Pujas are all going on, so you'll notice all of that at that stage. This is Krishna speaking, Lord Krishna blessed Mayadevi by saying, and it's continuing on, prayers by the demigods in here. And really, in essence, the appearance of Lord Krishna is, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport a few days ago, maybe a week back or something, that the collaboration of the three tattvas was involved in the appearance of the Lord. And he mentioned that Jiva Tattva, that Lord Brahma requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear on the bank of the milk ocean. So Jiva Tattva was there. Vishnu Tattva was involved. Who is? You remember from a few weeks ago? Prabhupada said in the purport, he said Vishnu Tattva because a part was played by Baladev by making suitable arrangements in Devaki's womb. And then today's verse is all about Shakti Tattva, he says. The Yogamaya who appeared as the daughter of Mother Yashoda also played a part. So Prabhupada says that the collaboration of the three tattvas was required for the personality of Godhead to appear. Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva and Shakti Tattva, all were required. So today Shakti Tattva is being discussed in great elaborate detail. And you know, if we often give these lectures called lessons, eight lessons from the cover of the Bhagavad Gita. And often people say, can you tell me the Gita where I don't have to open the Gita? Just by looking at the cover, you can tell me what it's about. So these lessons were devised, and there's many, probably you can have as many as you like. But the first lesson, if you look at the cover of the Gita, is Ananyata. Ananyata, and it's related to today's purport. Ananyata means that you have a choice at every moment to choose between Krishna and Krishna's resources. And the cover of the Gita shows that Arjuna, he picked Krishna. Because the pastime is there where Krishna was sleeping and Duryodhana and Arjuna came and Krishna said, I won't fight. We know the pastime well. So whoever picks me will only have me, but you can have my resources. Was it 10 akshahinis? How many akshahinis did Krishna have? 18 in total. I think his was the bulk. The Narayani Sena was 10 akshahinis, very big. So, you know, that's a great bargain. Imagine, you know, 10 akshahinis, or just him who would never fight. So, of course, Arjuna, he picks Krishna. And Duryodhan said, well, I would have also picked you, Krishna, but I got the short end of the straw. So I'll have the army instead. So, Ananyata. And Prabhupada here in the purport is saying that it's the same thing, whereby Krishna and the material energy, they appeared at the same time, and at every moment we have a choice. Choice between Krishna and Krishna's energy. And even Vyasadeva, when he saw Krishna, Maya Javani, as Queen Kunti says, Maya Javani Nak Chanyam, she says that just as where there is Krishna, just the shadow of Krishna, Maya Javani Nak Chanyam, one step behind is Maya. So as even as Vaishnavas here, we always have a choice between Krishna and Krishna's energy at every moment. We often say that life is really between the alphabets B to D. Life is really from B to D, birth to death. But what's the letter in between? It's not a trick question, everyone, just a simple question. It's C, B to D, it's C. C means choice. Between birth and death, you have a choice. You have a choice. Ananyata, you have a choice. So all of us have a choice. At every moment, we have a choice to choose between Krishna or the material energy. Whatever we are, whether we're a beginner or a pure devotee, at every moment, you have that choice to make between Krishna or Krishna's energy at every stage. So Ananyata is a good example of it. And today's purport is really talking about that principle, that Vaishnavas and the Shaktas. So people have a choice. And a lot of the purport is dedicated to the history and the locations of Durga. And she's known by many, many names. Durga, Kali, Amba. In total, actually, some names were given, but the total number of names that Kali has, or Durga has, is 64. 64, according to her pastimes, power. And often Durga is pictured as a beautiful woman in red cloth, if you've seen pictures of that. Generally, and she may have 4, 8, 10, 18 or 20 arms. It's in the cover, isn't it? In the Krishna book, you'll see the material energy in the old Krishna book. You'll see that she has 8 arms. And often 3 eyes as well. 3 eyes are there as well. And items in her hands, according to the number of arms, include conch, disc, trident, bow, arrow, sword, dagger, shield, beads, a wine cup. Here we are. A bell. These are all representing her potencies. She's often standing in a lotus, or she's sitting on a lion. Lion is the actual. And the lion represents her power and the control she has over the material nature. Lion is the king of the beasts, controls everything in the jungles. The material world is a jungle. So she is riding on the lion. She's controlling material nature. And you know, even the divine mother, the material energy, in all different cultures, it exists, the mother. The Greeks have the name Gaia for the material energy or the mother. The Africans have a name Ashun. The Egyptians have a name for the goddess as well, Isis. Interestingly, the word for matter in Latin comes from, because the material world is matter, it's interesting, the Latin word comes from mater, which means mother. So many connections between the mother and the history of all of these things. These were, I was just browsing through the Veda base, and you find many, many things like this in different books as well. And the domain of Durga is the material world. Durga means the prison house. The prison house. So we're in the prison house, and she's the prison warden. And the Brahma Samhita, it describes 2 verses I thought we'd look at very quickly. Goloka namni nijadam nitale jatasya Devi Mahesh Haridam Eshuteshu Teshu. And it describes 4 levels of existence. And the highest is Goloka. Goloka Namni. And just below Goloka is Haridam, or the Vaikuntha planets. And just lower than Vaikuntha planets is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva and his devotees. And last but not least, Devi Dham. Devi Dham, which is the abode of Durga, which is the material world, consisting of 14 planetary systems from the highest to the lowest. These are all there. And you know, often, as in the purport, which mentions one of the names of Durga is Bhavani. Bhavani. And generally, you'll find that those that are Shaktas, those who worship the different forms of Durga, are also, as mentioned, tantrics. And often, they get possessed by ghosts and a variety of other things, which we'll look at in a few moments. But once, in 1980s, we were having a great old kirtan here in the temple room, and somebody said, there's a gentleman out there shouting away, and can someone deal with him? And you know, as usual, I always get the short straw. No one else wants to go out. So I went and saw this man, and there was a taxi driver with him. And the taxi driver said, I'm worried. He said, this man hired this taxi all the way from Leicester. And I'm here with him. And he's shouting away. I said, well, should we call a doctor? He said, no, can we just make sure he pays my fare? He said, it's a bit more important to me at the moment. So I started talking to the man and he said, I've come to look for Bhavani. And I thought, all right, okay. Bhavani, we have a Bhavani here. The temple president was Bhumadev. And his wife's name was Bhavani. So I said, let me go and look for Bhavani. So I ran around the building and I couldn't find Bhavani anywhere. So I said, okay. He said, I must meet Bhavani right now. So I said, okay, let me. So finally I found Bhumadev and I said, I haven't found Bhavani, but this is Bhavani's husband. And he said, he does not look like Lord Shiva. So I said, Lord Shiva, Bhavani, something's wrong here. And then he was running around the building looking for Bhavani. He said, you have kidnapped Bhavani and her two sons. I said, okay, my God, two sons, Bhavani, this is getting, you know. The kirtan was still going on. No one was, you know, affected by it all. They were relaxing. So then he called the police. And he said, I have evidence that my wife, Bhavani, because he thought he was Shiva, has been kidnapped and my two children have been kidnapped. So the police were on to us. They said, we've been waiting to get these guys. So they were here before you knew it. They've never come so quick before, you know. They were here. And when they arrived, they were in the shoe room and they didn't want to take off their shoes. You know, they said, no, we don't take off shoes. I said, all right. So I took this gentleman and I said, look, the police have come. They want to speak to you. And he said, ah, good, you've come. He said, they have kidnapped my wife, Bhavani. And they said, can you give us a description? So that we can look for this lady. So he said, well, she will have a red sari. And I said, well, can you tell us a bit more? And he said, yes, 8 arms. And the policemen looked at each other. Said, okay. And the police thought, I thought we nearly had the Harrys this time. And then he said, well, my wife is not here, but my two sons will be here. And I said, well, what are their names? He said, Kartikeya and Ganesh. And the police said, well, can we look at your premises? Can we look at your register? I said, well, why doesn't he show us a photograph of them? And then we can look for these people. So he said, yes, I have a photograph. And, you know, there was someone on a peacock, you know, riding a peacock with a spear. And there was someone with an elephant trunk. And they both looked at each other and said, God, okay. There's the right one here, isn't it? I said, well, you can look for these two people on the premises. I said, I don't think you'll find them. So they escorted him back onto the taxi from Leicester. I don't know if he ever got paid. But he was back off to Leicester. So Bhavani. So when you worship, he was obviously possessed in one way or the other. Because he wasn't drunk or anything else. But these worshippers of Devi or Shaktas, they practice so many different things that they become possessed very quickly. Durga, we get more information of Durga from the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita has good verses. Anyone remember the next verse which describes Durga? Yes, remember? Yes. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhna Sakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga Ichanu Rupam Api Yasya Chachesta Chescha Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vajami, which is that the external potency of Maya, which is the chit potency, is worshipped by people as Durga. And she is in charge of creation, preservation, and destroying agency of this mundane world. And, of course, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So the descriptions of Durga are given in many, many places, especially in the what's known as the Upa Puranas, the lesser Puranas. But they do have, just as we have, the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is something known as the Devi Bhagavatam as well. Very famous. And they have recitations of Devi Bhagavatam as well. So the Devi Bhagavatam is all of the details of these 64 forms, what they do, what they don't do. They have a tremendous detail on that. And specifically, of the 64 Gauri, Uma and Parvati are the benevolent ones. The others, not always benevolent. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in commenting, explains the significance of Durga's forms. And he says as follows. Are we ready? He says, her 10 arms, he says, represents the 10 kinds of fruitive activities. She's riding on a ferocious lion, signifying her heroism. She tramples on Mahisura, the buffalo demon. This act, Bhaktisiddhanta writes, represents her ability to destroy vices. She holds a snake in her hands, which represents destructive time, and 20 diverse weapons representing pious activities enjoined in the Vedas. So this Bhaktisiddhanta speaking on Durga there. Prabhupada, of course, mentions in the Gita as well, in the verse, Maya Dikshina Prakriti Suiti Sa Characharam, that this material nature is working under my direction. He's referring to Durga. Durga is working under the direction of Krishna. In the 9th chapter, he speaks on that. Prabhupada also mentions, I was just looking up, he often quotes this verse where he says, Dhanam dehi, rupam dehi, rupapati bhajam dehi. Anyone remember what that is? Prabhupada quotes that often, a few places. Yes, yes, yes. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki. And Prabhupada says, worshippers of the goddess, they pray, please give me wealth, beauty, a beautiful spouse. But Prabhupada then goes on to say, but they are missing the point. That if you worship the superintendent of the prison house, she'll keep you in the prison. She'll keep you in the prison. So it's interesting, Prabhupada speaks about that in one place. Equally, of course, there are many parts to the story, and Parvati, of course. We always hear about Parvati, so these different forms of Durga, and she's an expansion. Parvati is an expansion from that Durga, one of the 64 forms. And if we look at Chaitanya Leela, of course, in Navadvip Dham, there is an island called Simantadvip. So again, there's another aspect to it all as well. In Satya Yuga, Lord Shiva, he was dancing in madness, in ecstasy. And he was dancing in such a way that they thought the universe may become annihilated. And he was chanting the name Gauranga. Gauranga. And he was dancing in the universe. So Parvati, she stopped him. And she said, what are you chanting? And he said, I'm chanting the name of Gauranga. And she said, well, I've not heard of Gauranga, because this is Satya Yuga. And Lord Shiva said that in the age of Kali, our Supreme Lord, he will appear as Gauranga, the most munificent of all incarnations. And just by meditating upon him, I have gone into ecstasy. So she said, well, how can I see this form? And he told her to go to Navadvip Dham and perform austerities, because Navadvip Dham is eternal, it exists always. So even in Satya Yuga, it existed. So she went to Navadvip Dham and she sat in one place and she started to perform great austerities, meditating and chanting the name of Gauranga. So she was also chanting Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. So after many thousands of years, Lord Chaitanya, he appeared before her, before Parvati. And he said to her, dear goddess, what is it that you want? And he said, whatever you want, I will give you the benediction. So she, of course, said, I wanted to see your form because my husband has gone into great ecstasy. So she said, I'm also going into ecstasy. And then she had a great conversation with Lord Chaitanya. She said that you have given me the job to bind the living entities. So I'm never in your association. You give liberation, but I bind them. So what am I to do? Please give me some service. So Lord Chaitanya, he gives a benediction to Parvati. And he says that just as I am residing in all the holy places, you will also reside. Just like in Vrindavan, you appear as Purnamasi, Yogamaya. You will also appear in Mayapur as Prodamaya, Prodamaya. And you will reside here eternally and you will protect the Dham. And you will, because you're Yogamaya, you will help in the pastimes of the Lord. So at that stage, she went into great ecstasy. She had finally some service for the Lord and she paid her respects. And she took the dust from Lord Chaitanya's feet and she placed it in between the parting of her hair, that dust, where the kumkum is placed. So she placed it there. And when she, and hence the island became Simantadweep, parting, the parting. That's where the name comes from, Simantadweep. And when she touched the ground, because the her kumkum touched the island of Simantadweep, the whole island became red with kumkum. So still today, of all the different nine islands, Simantadweep is more redder, with red soil, red clay, because of that initial pastime. So that's one aspect, their Prodamaya. So it's interesting, although she's the material energy and binding everyone, she can also free you in her form as well. So that choice is there always. Looking at the time here, and I thought we would just look at the story of these. Prabhupada mentions that there are Vaishnavas and there are Shaktas. And I thought we could look at the Shaktas for a few moments and see what they get up to. There are many stories of the Shaktas, of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And maybe if we have time, we'll look at that. The famous story of the Shaktas is... Srivas Thakur. And remember Gopal Chappal, who... So we'll look at that perhaps in a little while. We'll see. So the Shaktas, they're divided into two groups. The right hand and the left hand. As we'd always have. The left hand are called Dakshina Acharya. And they're the ascetic group. They never actually get involved with the public. And they're the ascetics. Performing great austerities. And they're great worshippers of Durga. But they never come into the public forum. And you know, you'll see them at the Kumbh Mela. As Prabhupada says, they have such great powers that they'll come along the paths of the Ganga through their mystic powers and appear there. So these are the right-handed Shaktas. The left ones are called Vamachara. And they combine the yogic exercises with Tantra. And unorthodox methods are called the Pancha Makara. And they're called the five M's. Five M's. Madhya, which means wine. They drink wine. Mamsa, which means eating meat. Matsya, which means eating fish. Mudra, which means eating parched grains. And they use grain as a means of their tantra. And finally, Maituna, ritualistic sex. So these are the five aspects. Between, missed something. And they use all of these items. And what they do is these tantric, and they have a whole array of disciplines. So the tantrics, the first thing that they do is they master all the yogic principles. And you'll find that once they've mastered all the austerities of the yoga system, the next assignment that they have is that they'll have to go to a crematorium ground and they'll search through the ashes and they'll look for a particular part of the corpse which is burning, and their assignment is to eat that part of the corpse. So this is their rituals that they have to gain all these powers. So that's the first one, to go to the crematorium ground. They also, when they are getting higher up in the hierarchy, they also have to use a human skull as a bowl for their food and a monkey skull as a drinking cup. And these apparently give variety of powers. So, the nearest we come to the tantrics is the Bhaktivedanta players, you know, in the dramas with the Kali and different items that they have and so on. But they're all part of the system. And one of the main items that the tantrics use is the thigh bone of a human being. And I believe it's the right thigh bone. Because this is a horn that they use for calling spirits from the other world. The right thigh. So watch out if you see someone running around with the right thigh bone. This is the purport of it. This is what they do. And even in the Tibetan Shakta or tantrics, the practitioners have to go to a crematorium and they have to invite all the ghosts and spirits to come and destroy their flesh. They have a whole variety of rituals. And then they rebuild the body again through these ghosts and so on. So a variety of things which exist within the tantra. And generally what they do is that the tantrics will get, they can only act through food, and then they can only act through something that you possess, a piece of your hair or something. They'll use that in tantra. One of the devotees in Chupati was telling me that he'd gone on a bus once. And someone was sitting next to him, a long bus journey. And on that bus journey, there was a man sitting next to him. And he said, "Look, have some something I've got for you to eat." And he said, "No, I don't want to take that, no." And then an hour later, he brought out something else. He said, "We must share something together." And the devotee said, no, I cannot take this, no, nothing. And then another hour later, he offered him something else. And he said, no, I can't take this. And finally, they were speaking for 4 hours. He thought, "I can't offend this man anymore." So he gave him one biscuit. And he said he remembers taking 2 bites of the biscuit. And then he remembers 3 days later after that. And he remembers 3 days later being thrown off the bus, some bus, and being thrown in front of the Puna temple. And he doesn't know what the tantrics need ascetics and sadhus and others to do their rituals, or just the presence of them. So he cannot remember what happened for 3 days. So through food, next time somebody offers you something in India, watch out. So, or they do something through hair even, or anything that you possess. One devotee in India, he couldn't sleep at all. And for nearly 5 years, he couldn't sleep. At night, he was just awake. You know, he'd get an hour here or something. So finally, they went to figure out what was wrong with him. And as I mentioned, there's the left hand and the right hand tantric. So they went to the good ones. And he said, "Yes, someone has taken a piece of his hair somewhere along the line. And through it, they're stopping him from sleeping." So anyway, they did some ceremonies. On the way back to the temple, I think it was Pune or somewhere. He said he just threw up, this devotee, and he threw up, and huge amounts of black vomit came out. Although, you know, he'd never eaten anything to get rid of whatever the tantra was. So it's interesting that these things go on, and the whole purport is about these things. So I have to be a bit careful on these things. Prabhupada mentions the following. I thought that was interesting as well. He said, in Bengal, there's a competition between the Vaishnavas and the Shaktas. The Shaktas have introduced a certain type of kirtan called Kali Kirtan. But in the Vedic scripture, there is no recommendation of Kali Kirtan. Kirtan means Hari Kirtan. One cannot say you are oh, you are Vaishnav, you can perform Hari Kirtan. I shall perform Shiva Kirtan or Devi Kirtan or Ganesh Kirtan. No. The Vedic scriptures do not authorize any kirtan other than Hari Kirtan. Kirtan means Hari Kirtan, the glorification of Krishna. So they also have Kali Kirtan as well. But you know, if you look at our lineage, Kedarnath Datta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about his mother's line were all Shaktas. And he remembers that the age of three even, and he recalls, if you read the seventh Goswami, that there was a grand festival held, and lanterns, lamps, hundreds of people. And he says, in terms of the scene, it was like a forest to humanity, and in terms of light, it was like the battle of Kurukshetra. The scene was filled with fireworks, pomp. So this was all there. And he says, on the sixth day, two types of drums were beaten, and the sound would shake the whole puja house. And on the ninth, because they would take the goddess Durga and immerse her in water. He said, on the ninth day, it was not good news for the goats and buffaloes as they were sacrificed. So Kedarnath Datta is speaking on that way, which I thought was... interesting that he's saying that. But equally, we can look at the other side of it all, which is Parvati. And we spoke already of the first pastime, but even there's another really wonderful pastime. And even in Chaitanya Leela, as we said, the pastime of Gopal Chappal is there, where he tried to disgrace Srivas Thakur by placing the paraphernalia of Durga Puja, of Shaktas outside his house. And Srivas said, yes, yes, I am a worshipper of Durga. But within days, Gopal Chappal, he caught leprosy. And in India, when you catch leprosy, they have to take you out of the village. And they have colonies called leper colonies. And you have to stay there. So one time, Lord Chaitanya was walking past the leper colony. And Gopal Chappal came to see him and he said, please forgive me. And Lord Chaitanya said, I will not forgive you in 10 million lifetimes. So Gopal Chappal was already devastated, what to speak of, after 10 million lifetimes. Anyway, again, a second time, Lord Chaitanya was walking by, and he caught him and he said that I have offended your devotees, so you please, you tell me how to redeem myself. So Lord Chaitanya said, I have no power to cure you. If Srivas Thakur forgives you, only then can you be cured from leprosy? So, of course, he went to Srivas Thakur, and not only did he get cured from leprosy, but he became cured from the envy that he had for Vaishnavas. The envy that he had from Vaishnavas. So I thought that was very interesting, that from Shaktas to Vaishnavas to Lord Chaitanya, that our envy that we may have will lead us into more and more difficulties. Just on a final story, on this purport, that once in, the story is there, in Chaitanya Mangal, Lochindas Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal. And he gives the story that one time Narada Muni had gone to serve Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha. And he was serving Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi said, you have served me so tremendously well. Give me a request that you have. So Narada Muni said, I want the remnants of Lord Narayan. Please give me that. So at that stage, Lakshmi Devi said, well, oh, I can give you anything but that. But he said, well, you just said anything. And now you're saying anything but that. He said, well, just last week, Lord Narayan said to me, I cannot distribute his Mahaprasad. So I cannot give it. So anyway, she said, let me see what I can do. So she was serving Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan could see that she was morose. Something was wrong. So he immediately said, I can see, Devi, that you are, something is wrong in your life. So she explained the whole pastime. Narad Muni was serving me, and he wants, and you've said to me, I cannot take your remnants anymore. So Lord Narayan said, just this one time you can take them. But what you do is let me not see that you've taken them. So in this way, I'm not breaking my promise. You just take them. So she took the whole plate and she gave them to Narad Muni. Narad Muni ate all the remnants. And when he ate all the remnants, he went into great ecstasy and he was dancing in the universe. And as he was dancing in the universe, he came across Lord Shiva, which fits in with today's purport here again. And Lord Shiva said, what are you doing? I've never seen you dance like this. He said, I have just eaten the Lord's remnants. And I'm dancing in such great ecstasy because of it. So of course, you know the next question Lord Shiva asked. He said, well, have you saved some for me, some remnants? And Narad Muni said, ooh. And Narad Muni was worried because if Lord Shiva gets angry, there's problems. So he said, and he looked, and just in his fingernail, there was a bit of spinach still left. And he said, well, I couldn't save much, but I have this much still left. And any amount is potent, very powerful. So then Lord Shiva didn't wait. He grabbed his hand and he put his finger in his mouth. Double Maha, Narad Muni's fingers, spinach from Lord Narayan. So then when Lord Shiva had it, he went into ecstasy. And he was dancing in the universe like a madman. And the only problem was that he was dancing at a certain meter with his drum, which means that the material world will now be annihilated. So, of course, who could stop him? Who could stop him? So then, seeing this, of course, no one could stop him, and residents of the different planetary systems said, Parvati, you stop him immediately. And that there is there also in the Kali pastime, isn't it? If you see Kali, when we go to Mayapur, you'll see the form of Kali, the ghastly form with the skulls. She has 54 skulls, human skulls, which represent the 54 vices. And do you notice her tongue is always out? Red tongue. Do you know why that is? He would know, of course, Nandan from Bengal. Yes, go on. Yes. Yes, what happened was that she'd gone in a rampage to kill certain demons. And she went so much out of control that no one could stop her. So the demigod said, Lord Shiva, you're the only one who can stop her. You're the husband. A bit like my house sometimes, you know. Only the husband can stop. So Lord Shiva, he ran, but he couldn't stop her. So what he did was he jumped right in front of her. And he lay flat, but she didn't notice him, so she stepped on him. And when she stepped on him, she realized, my God, I'm stepping on my husband. So then, out of shame, she took her tongue out. Red tongue. So that's why you see that image. Anyway, just a bit of a side note there. Side note of information there. But anyway, so Parvati finally stops him, and she says, I have just eaten the remnants of Lord Narayan. And she said, of course, the question, where's my share? And he said, I forgot, I didn't think about it. And of course she became so angry that she immediately sat down and she started to perform austerities and the entire universe started to burn. All the demigods went to Lord Narayan and said, you better come because the universe is about to get destroyed again. First we had Lord Shiva and now we've got his wife. We don't know what to do. So anyway, can you help us? So he came running with a plate of remnants. And he gave it to Parvati. He said, your husband only got a morsel. I'm giving you a whole plate. Stop these austerities. And she said, I'm not satisfied. She said, why only I should get the remnants? Or Lord Shiva should get your remnants? She said, the entire universe should have your remnants, including the dogs. So Lord Narayan said, oh my God, what do I do now? So he said, okay, I give you a benediction. I give you a benediction that when I appear as Lord Jagannath, I will profusely distribute my remnants. And this will be the highest prasad in the universe, Jagannath Mahaprasad. And you will also be there with me. So, and you will be known as Bimala Devi. Parvati, Bimala, many names like that. So she said that you will be in the main mandap, and whatever's offered to me will not be considered prasad unless it's offered to you. So if you go to the Jagannath temple, when they offer all the bhogs, then they take it just behind the temple, where the temple of Bimala Devi is. And once it's offered to her, only then can it be distributed. And Jagannath Mahaprasad, it's said that even a dog can eat that Mahaprasad and be elevated. Because that was, she was asking, even a dog can have it. So that's where, and she said, because Lord Shiva, he did not give you the remnants, we will not allow him to stay in the mandap. He will have to have his temple outside of the main mandap. So Lord Shiva's temple is at the beginning of the Jagannath temple. He's outside of the main mandap. He cannot stay there. So he's given that position there as well. So speaking of Mahaprasad and the remnants of the Lord, so that great benediction is there, that whoever eats, and Lord Narayan gave a benediction that whoever has this Mahaprasad, immediately they will go back home, back to Godhead. It's a great benediction on Jagannath Mahaprasad there. Or any Mahaprasad, but specifically, of course, it's Jagannath Mahaprasad, which is given there. So I'll take this opportunity once again to thank all the book distributors, because we don't have a separate festival of our own. All the devotees, not just the book distributors, everyone really worked very hard for the marathon this year. To get to where we did 131,000, I want to really thank every one of you. Every single one of you took part in the variety of ways to spread Krishna consciousness. But you know what that means now? Means 131,000 people are going to appear at the manor, wondering, these books speak about such amazing people, I want to meet them. So that the next part of our book distribution is the follow-up, that when they do appear here, we should greet them, meet them, and take them to the next stage of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, really, we're aborting their spiritual lives. We've sown the seed of spiritual life, but we'll abort it if we don't show them that we're not like any other organization, because people lose faith very quickly. I was reading a survey that in America that 70% of people who arrive at a religious organization because they were inspired, they leave because they see that the behavior is different from the philosophy. People don't walk the talk, as you'd say. So really, it's up to us to take it to the next stage. Whoever walks in, and as I've always said, the minimum we can all do is smile when we come to these premises. Because when people come here, they're looking for sanctuary. And if they think, my God, the same morose people in my house are the same morose people here, they think, my God, this is no different. So at least a smile. A smile should be there. What to speak of? Pointing them, and the least you can do is if someone is new walking around, you point them in the direction of the reception. We do have guest masters. We have people that will take devotees around. We have special programs on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays for any new person, especially any Western person, to take them through Krishna consciousness. So these amazing things are there. And just ending on a note, Sutta Prabhupada always writes many things on his blogs and so on. And I thought I'd share one of his things that he wrote. And he said that, you know, life will be very peaceful in 2016 you know, whether it's a temple, whether it's your house, whether it's the Brahmachari ashram, he said that if we talked to each other rather than talking about each other. So it's Krishna Katha, talk to each other, or Gramya Katha, talk about each other. We have that choice at every stage. And I began with that point of Ananyata, that we have a choice. So we can make that choice. Sorry if you're going over the time. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi.